Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic hits.
Seems it was the last day I was doing the daytime show. I started thinking about who are my favourite people that I've spoken to on a regular basis over the last 12 years. And journalist Alison O'Reilly would be one of those. Good afternoon to you, Alison.
Good afternoon. That is a lovely introduction. That is so kind. Thank you so much.
No, Alison, it's been lovely because I suppose our hearts are together when it comes to this story about mother and baby homes and everything else. And, you know, if I go right back to 2012 when, you know, Catherine Corliss, the historian, looked into and investigated this whole idea that many of these names were missing. And, of course, this came onto the tune Babies. And you were there. You were one of the first journalists to get involved in this particular story. And nobody was really listening to you at the time. Do you remember that time, by the way? Because it's 11 years ago now.
Yeah, I do. It was tough. It was very tough because I always have had an interest in adoption and fostering. As you know, I'm an adoptive mother myself, and I was a foster parent too. And I'd be very interested in, you know, I don't always say people are parents. I say they're guardians or carers. We forget about them as well. There's a lot of grannies raising children. There's a lot of aunts raising children. So, you know, we're all about blended families, and we come into caring for children in different ways. And it was always an interest to me about 21st century families, as I call them. And so to learn then, you know, off the back of the Bethany Home babies who didn't get as much credit as they should have done because they were Protestant babies, their names were unveiled just before the Tomb babies' names were revealed. And that is how I came across Catherine Corliss and Anna Corrigan and all the women who helped uncover that scandal of mass graves across Ireland.
It was an astonishing story.
Yeah.
And did you, as a journalist at the time, you would have been with the Mail on Sunday at that time, wasn't it, I think?
That's right, yeah.
Was it difficult? Yeah, was it? By the way, congratulations. I know you've just moved to the Irish Examiner, and they're lucky to have you, let me just say.
Thank you.
but at the time, as a journalist, was it difficult to get that story into editors, or were they kind of going, I don't know about that one there now, Alison? Was that a difficult story to get in, or were they grabbing it with both hands?
No, do you know what? It was difficult at first because as I was writing about the Bethany Home babies, which opened the door to the Tomb baby story, I waited 6 weeks in the Mail on Sunday for that story to be printed. And it just got smaller and smaller because the longer you leave it, and obviously it was timely because the names of the Bethany babies had been unveiled in around April 2014. This is 2 years after the Tomb babies investigations was taking place with Catherine Corliss, but they hadn't become known yet. And I just was struggling so hard in the Mail on Sunday to get that story into the paper, and finally it got into the paper, and it was about 300 words. I was mortified after promising.
This was in May 2014, I think, in around middle of 2014.
Yeah, that was really tough now because you're hoping for a big spread on such a huge important story, and then it just got whittled right down. It was weeks later, and it was.
And for you then to go back to the people you've interviewed, that must be embarrassing as a journalist because you know how important the story is.
Yeah, it's really hard when that happens, you know, when you've promised somebody that you'll do a story. And, like, down to the editor, and people forget that, you know. So, unfortunately, I was in the Mail on Sunday at the time, and I was just hoping to leave. And I was really in a difficult place because I was just like, oh, I just don't want to be here anymore. You know, when you just reach a point where you feel you've done enough.
Yeah.
And then I had this brilliant news editor, Aidan Corkery, who actually went to the Business Post, but he's doing PR now. And he was brilliant because at the time, you know, you were given the time to work on investigations. So I got about 6 weeks to work on the Tomb baby story. And it's great to have a direction because I'm very flighty. I'd be like, I have the story. I want to do it now. I want to do it now. Whereas Aidan was really good at pacing me, you know. He was like, no, we have to go to here. We have to check out this. We have to check out Catherine Corliss's investigations. And he'd just keep checking in with me every week to go into the birth, death and marriages because obviously Catherine had this incredible work and so did Anna Corrigan because she's a person of stories. But you have to check as a journalist everything they're saying and that they're not two crazy women coming up with this big conspiracy theory. So people forget the work that goes into investigative.
And then the story became huge. It became international. It was all across America. It was everywhere.
It went nowhere here. No, that was the battle. Like,
and that was really sad. Until the time, of course, when Catherine Corliss appeared in the Late Late Show and got a standing ovation, which was amazing. The first person I think ever to get a standing ovation on the Late Late Show. And of course, and you were the one who got that story out and got it out to everybody. And since then, of course, we've had the Commission of Investigation. We've had the investigations, and we've also had the suggestion now that they're going to exhume the site as well. I don't know when that'll happen, or when it'll happen, or if it ever happens. And now, of course, getting back to what I wanted to talk to you today, just was an update, as well as going back over old ground, a little bit of an update on where we are now, because people keep saying to me, Niall, you're on top of this story all the time. You've talked about it with Alison all the time. You know, what's the story on the redress? It just keeps getting delayed.
Yeah.
Like, when is it actually, when are they going to pop up a website saying, here you go, put your name in here and the check will be in the post? When is that actually going to happen?
Yeah. It's not, we don't know, is the answer. We do not know. I just want to be very clear about that. All we've been told is it was announced last year, 800 million, the biggest redress scheme in the history of the state, but it's received nothing but a backlash because, as you know, people in the homes under 6 months can't get any money, and people who were fostered or boarded out won't be included. And then the home you're in has to be included as well. So those people are excluded. There's about 68,000 survivors that we know of, but only around 40-something thousand will get the redress scheme when it's rolled out. We're told it's this year. We don't have a date. We don't have a time. So unfortunately, we're nowhere with that.
But what I know, there are objections on certain grounds to it as well. Absolutely.
Yes.
And they can be added in later on. Hopefully those objections are successful. But I mean, it already has passed. They've already passed the motion, the Dáil. It's already been voted on. So it's just a matter of just doing it now and the President signing it, isn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately, that hasn't happened either. So we don't know. We just do not know. We know it's coming, but we don't know when. And unfortunately, there's aging survivors.
That's what I was talking about earlier on. Myself and Jane were chatting about it. Not so much the children, they'd be all around my age, but the mothers, they'd be all in their 80s probably now.
Yeah, Christy Tully's 91 and very sick, you know, and she had two babies and one is missing. So we just don't know. Unfortunately, all we've been told, and I have asked very recently the Department of Children, when is this redress scheme going to be rolled out? And they said, hopefully later in the year. Mm-hmm. That is all I can tell you.
And what has been the success, just briefly, of the track and trace, which they introduced last October? Because I'm hearing from people that they're waiting months. Now, they were promised 6 weeks would be the timeline from when you put your application in to getting your information back, and it wouldn't be redacted, etc., etc. But I hear people are waiting now nearly 6 months and still haven't received anything.
Unfortunately, there's a massive delay with that too. And I shouldn't be laughing. I'm not laughing at the survivors because they know themselves they're scratching their heads. But again, we do not have the resources or the bodies to do this level of work. You announce something like this, you must have the people in place to answer the phone. Hello, how are you? Track and trace. What can I do for you? Okay, I'll be back to you in 7 days, 14 days, 21 days. Not happening. And people are still swimming around, lost souls, not knowing who they are. And still nothing that has been rolled out has functioned well, Niall. Nothing for survivors. We got an apology. People aren't happy with that. Redress scheme. Now the rollout today, the advertisement for a special advocate to speak up for survivors. One special advocate to advocate on behalf of survivors. Imagine trying to deal with that level of mixed stories and emotions. We also have the rollout or advertisement for a director to oversee the exhumation of tomb. I mean, come on. Mm. Like, this is state land.
Yeah.
You own it.
Yeah. Just sign the Jesus thing and be done with it.
Well, like, oh, my God.
Another committee to examine the previous committee.
And none of it's worked out. And none of it's made anyone happy. And it's just a mess. And I did a story there recently in the Irish Examiner with three mothers who said all of this is just triggering. It's triggering for you as well.
But that's what I'm saying. It's just upsetting people and making people feel worse about the whole thing. Well, listen, Alison, it's been lovely catching up with you. And thank you very much indeed for keeping us up to date on our daytime show. And hopefully when I'm doing the nighttime show or continuing to do the nighttime show, you will keep coming on with us every now and again to give us a little update. Listen, thank you very much.
Of course. course. Oh, no, and Niall, thank you very much for your sheer dedication and hard work and commitment to this very important story. And it's always been a joy working with you, and I always wish you the best.
Real people, real opinions, Real Talk Radio, the multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic hit.